You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We have been rolling tonight, and we're going to roll on here. We got a great interview coming up. Before we get to that interview, just a reminder, nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Summer's here. Get out on the patio. It's 4th of July. Get out to the pool or come out to a Dynamo game. But most importantly, grab your friends and an ice-cold bucket of Bud Lights, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week. Remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light, official beer of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 every Wednesday at 7 Central. What a wonderful time to bring in our next guest. Many people will know him from his time as manager in Major League Soccer for the LA Galaxy and the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars. But he has now been named the Coach of Canada. And it's an amazing coaching background that Octavio Zambrano has. He joins us now. Octavio, thank you very much and congratulations. A little bit belated here for getting the job for Canada back in March.
Much appreciated, Glenn, and a pleasure always to talk to you. And my greetings to everyone listening. Yes, it has been quite a good turn of events after starting in the United States with the Galaxy and the Metro Stars, my professional career, and then going to Europe and then coming back to South America. Although a brief time with Kansas City also, I came to the MLS, but now back in North America as the Canadian national team. It's been quite a ride, I have to say.
Yeah.
I'm very, very happy and proud, and obviously knowing the enormous challenge ahead of me.
You know, when I look at your coaching resume, Octavio, I mean, nobody's ever going to say that you haven't taken risks with your career. You've coached in Moldova, Hungary, Ecuador. I got to think the lessons learned and maybe certain countries you had more resources than others. I got to think this grew you as not only a manager and a coach, but also as a person in these environments.
Without a doubt. The game is international, the game is universal, and the ability and the luck that I have had to go and work in completely different environments, one from the other, has made me grow as a person as well as a coach, and those are memories that in every single place that I've been, I have accumulated for my reference whenever I am in an environment where I need to draw from them, whether it's a cultural issue, whether it's a sports issue. You know, it's been very enriching, and so I'm very happy that, you know, I have come sort of like full circle, but certainly coming back to North America is a great moment in my life right now.
And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, what an amazing opportunity for you with Canada. Once you get this job, once you assess kind of what's going on and the structure there, and I'm sure you had studied it a lot before even getting the job, but once you take stock of everything, how do you formulate the plan now that is to take Canada to the next level?
Well, I think I have come in a very important moment in Canadian soccer, because the three teams that participate in the MLS have put considerable resources in their academy. And so now Vancouver and Montreal and Toronto can field quality teams at the youth level. And Canada has benefited tremendously from this dynamic. But Canada being as big as it is as a country demographically, it has a lot of land, and it has an influx of immigrants, a considerable influx of immigrants. We now have a tremendous pool of players where to draw from. The key of it all here is to find them. because you know as well as I do that we as coaches can only do so much, but we need to have the raw material. We need to have the diamonds in the rough, the talent to really do our job. And I think Canada has been all of these dynamics that I just mentioned, and the incoming of the CPL, the Canadian Premiership League, also will be another piece of this puzzle. So, you know, these are exciting times. That the 2026 World Cup that I think undoubtedly is going to be played in North America. Mexico, the U.S., and Canada—that is, I think we are going to benefit from all of that happening. And I'm just very glad and feel fortunate that I am at the helm of this project, and I know that I'm going to guide it in the right direction.
Exciting times. I don't think there's any question. Now, this Gold Cup, what's important for you in this Gold Cup as a takeaway? And I know both managers want to obviously get results and obviously get development out of players and give players opportunity. What's most important to you? I know most would say both, but is one or the other take precedent?
Every manager wants to win. And I think when you enter a competition, you have to put that into the player's mindset at the very beginning, that we are not just here to compete, to be one of the participants. We're here to win this thing. Now, that may look or seem like an onerous endeavor, and probably people will dismiss it as some kind of false sense of trying to rally the troops and all that. But I really truly think that we, as managers, and based on what I have as well, obviously, I think it is a doable goal, or it's an attainable goal. So we are treating this as a kind of competition where Canada needs to say, you know, here we are. You know, we are a new team. We have a good combination of young players, of experienced players. We have to say we benefit from the fact that a lot of other countries that we face, because of the dynamics of the game, the Confederations Cup and whatnot, they will have different types of teams on the field. So we are within, I think, a range of passing the first round and looking at bigger and better things after that. But, you know, one step at a time. But I think at the beginning of any competition, you just have to tell the guys that, you know, we're here to win this thing. And then, you know, the game will dictate everything else.
Octavio Zambrano joining us here on ESPN Radio, Soccer Matters. The coach of Canada, head of the group stage, your first game in New York against French Guiana. Then you'll take on Costa Rica, so you got two very differing teams there. Let's just talk about your roster. You mentioned you got players with experience, you got youth players, you got, you know, very interesting players that are playing at all different levels in a number of different countries. You've got Cavallini playing with Peñarol in South America. You've got players in Hungary. You've got players in Poland, England. It is really quite a mix, sort of representative of the country.
Yes, and that represents a challenge because a lot of these foreign-based players are in their off-season right now. And so the level of fitness is not, or sharpness is not quite there as it should be. I should say, because they have actually done their homework. They've surprised me in a positive way that they have come ready fitness-wise. That means that they have done their job about keeping fitness even though they've been in the rest period. But that is one group. The other group is the guys that are playing consistently and considerable games in the MLS. And these guys are in mid-season form. These are guys that, if anything, they need a little bit of pull back on rest and so that they approach this competition fresh and ready to go. And yet you have another group that are in the MLS teams, but they are alternates. In other words, they play full minutes. And that's probably the most difficult group to handle because these are guys that that are not competing in a regular basis. You know, sometimes there are guys that are not part of USL teams, which are the teams that are feeder teams for the first teams of the MLS. But yet they are not playing in the MLS. They are kind of like on the bench, and you know they are just training, but they are not playing. And nothing can supplant the efforts that come, both emotionally, physically, and otherwise, the demands of a real match. And so we have some issues with that. So we have to be very careful on how we approach these three different types of groups. It's a very interesting dynamic.
Octavio, who are some of the real sort of leaders and the guys that come in and you just see their personality jumping out, the confident leader type guys on this Canada roster?
We have leaders that are of the Patrice Bernier type leaders that are consummate professionals with a great career behind them, with lots of games in the international level, real pros, approaching the end of their careers. We have guys that are perhaps not as seasoned in their careers, but they are players that in their clubs they command a lot of respect just by what they do on the field, and so we have a group of guys that I would say a handful of guys that in one respect or another they bring that to the team, and that's very important because we have a young team. We have made a decision to look forward. We are in a transitional period, and these seasoned players will have their space and will have the time, but eventually, they will have to give way to the younger guys, which we have, guys like Alfonso Davies, like Anthony Jackson-Hammer, Cavallini, all these guys are young players with a great future. So we need to also start bringing them into the national team scene, and we have not too much time to wait. So the time is now for Canada to do that. And with that comes, obviously, the risk of them not performing at certain level, but it also comes the excitement of seeing new players that perhaps in the past were not seen or were not found to be a part of a program like the Canadian national team now they are in it.
So that's part one with Canada coach Octavio Zambrano. And Canada, don't forget, will be in Houston on July 11th to be a part of the doubleheader of the Gold Cup down at BBVA Compass Stadium. You can get your tickets at goldcup.org. A moment here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's daspitlaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Doesn't matter whether your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, construction, plant, refinery, the Daspit Law Firm will assure you they'll treat your case as if it's their own. It's DaspitLaw.com, working for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Again, DaspitLaw.com, and you can call them bilingual at 713-322-4878. And the Gorgeous Gale. If you want an Irish pub with that Irish feel, the Gorgeous Gale is the place for you. Soccer fans, head over to the Gorgeous Gale. 5555 Morningside Drive over in West University. They've got all the matches on, including the Houston Dynamo. You'll get a pint and a bite, whiskey offerings. Say hello to my friend Peter. Got a great open field, lots of monitors, an outdoor patio. The Gorgeous Gale is the place to be. It's also the home of the Houston Liverpool supporters group. TheGorgeousGale.com. We'll take a break. Bud Light break.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Octavio Zambrano joining us here, Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Ahead of the Gold Cup, he is the manager of Canada. Many people will remember him from his time in Major League Soccer with the LA Galaxy and Metro Stars. He has since then coached in a number of European countries and South America, now in charge of Canada in what Canada is liking, what's happening right now with all the Major League Soccer teams and their development academies and on down. How difficult, and I'm not sure you may even know the answer to this yet, do you understand sort of how you want to play eventually with the Canadian national team, or is that still a work in progress? In other words, in your mind, have you identified sort of a purpose of play, a platform to go off of, or is it still something that you're kind of developing due to the newness of the job?
Yeah, we have an idea of obviously of what we want to kind of to be and the identity that we want to be reflected, that the identity of the Canadian national team or teams reflected on the pitch. I mean, my responsibility goes not only from the senior team, but on down to the U15. I have to oversee the whole program. And one of the things that really captivated me about this job was perhaps precisely that I was given the opportunity to put an imprint or put my imprint on what I think is the type of football that Canada should play. And, you know, everybody that knows me and my record speaks for itself. You know, we like to play, you know, an attacking type of football. All that said, it has to be balanced with a, you know, solid enough defense that you can take the risk that entails. We are not quite there yet. We have to do some work because part of it is a lack of time to really put this methodology or this philosophy on the field and make coaches and players acquainted with it. And the other part of it is because we're still finding the right pieces to play this type of football. So what we're seeing right now is glimpses of what we want, and that's probably what this cup is going to be like. But it won't be the final package. We have time, but results are also very important for us. You know, it's winning is part of, and I want our guys to know that. So to answer your question, long answer to your question is, you know, we want to go out there and be protagonists. We want to shed this image of Canada being just a speculative country that was there not knowing really whether it was to play their game, but rather than adjusting to the opponent's idea. We want to put our idea on the field and make the opponent adjust to us. I mean, that's ultimately what I would like for Canada to do.
Octavio, does that become easier now? Because I get the sense that more creative type players are potentially coming through the system now.
It is doable because we do have some interesting players at the youth level that I think with the proper training methodology and with the proper mechanisms to promote them to the right environments where they can grow as players, they can be very, very good for Canada in the years to come. We need to affect that now. We need to make sure that our U15s are players that begin to understand this idea of protagonism, this idea of being the first accepting being there, but rather going out there to win the cup, you know, to be number one. And this you need to affect it at the young age. We have talent in the middle and the certainly the Olympic, the under 23s and in the top team, to begin to see that we can have it take shape, even though not the final product, but as we are training them and as we are making them grow as players, you know, in a 4-year cycle, which is what we're here for, leading up to the 2022 Qatar qualifications. Hopefully, by then we will have come full term or full circle with this idea.
Octavio Zambrano joining us. We'll get one or two more questions in with him. We really do appreciate your time, Octavio. Let's just steer it back towards the Gold Cup right now, and your group play. So there's not a lot out there on French Guiana. So tell us a little bit about them, and then let's move into Costa Rica, your opponents.
Well, French Guiana is a country that had to really do something important to qualify for Gold Cup. So they have put together a good team, and similar to what Curaçao is. A lot of Dutch players playing born or with backgrounds in the islands. The Caribbean islands that have gone to play for Dutch teams. Likewise, the team from French Guiana is no different. There's a lot of players playing in the French professional divisions that have French Guiana background. But in reality, a lot of them were born in France, and a lot of them have been playing there for a long time. So it's that dynamic that makes these teams very, very interesting and very, very much dangerous teams. So we need to be prepared and ready for this, because that first match is very, very important for us and for our chances to qualify for the next round. So French Guiana is a team we're not taking lightly.
And then on to Costa Rica, and we know Costa Rica's success since the last World Cup in Brazil.
Yeah, Costa Rica is the upper crust of CONCACAF right now. We're talking about players like Bolaños, and you know, some players that we know because of their national team. Their participation in the MLS. We are, you know, when we face Costa Rica and we do well against them, we can say that, you know, we will also do well against the likes of Mexico, the likes of the United States, right now at the top of CONCACAF. So Costa Rica represents for us a true measurement of where we are as a nation as far as soccer is concerned, you know, notwithstanding FIFA rankings, obviously, because there's a lot of spaces between us. But for our evaluation and assessment, playing Costa Rica, playing Mexico, playing the United States, that gives us a pretty good glimpse of where we really are.
Last
Honduras, no different. Honduras is a World Cup contender and participant of many, many good competitions. And, you know, we are also when we face them, we are really needing to say to them that we are at least in equal, if not better terms than they are, because quite frankly, you know, our ranking, which is at 109 in FIFA, the latest FIFA rankings, I think doesn't speak truly about what Canada is as a nation of soccer. So we need to change that perception and you know, force the people at FIFA in Switzerland to really take another look at what Canada has to offer. But if we don't do it on the field, if we don't do it with results, it's not going to happen. So we need to start affecting that.
Alfonso Davies, a young guy. I don't get the sense you have any concerns about anybody's age if they can play. He's 18. We've seen him in Major League Soccer performing with Vancouver. There's also another player that you're very interested in, Tabla, who plays for the Montreal Impact, who I don't think is committed yet to any national team. But a young guy like Alfonso Davies, I mean, where is he at in your mind? Is this a guy that can help you guys immediately? I mean, obviously he has to be nurtured to a degree, but he seems like a kid who's up for it.
He is up for it, and that has been proven by his participation in the Vancouver Whitecaps. And credit to them to give a young guy a place and an opportunity to showcase himself. That a lot of times doesn't happen. You have very good players that just are not given the chance because they are just too young. But in Alfonso's case, it's proven, I think, beyond a shadow of a doubt that he belongs. And for us in Canada, we are thinking of big things for him. We're thinking about him being a player that could eventually down the line be an elite player, meaning that he will probably crack into the big leagues around the world and continue his growth as a player, and you know, all the better for Canada. So we have high hopes on Alfonso, and I think he's going to come through.
Octavio, thank you so much for your time, and it's a lot of time, and we appreciate it, but a very interesting interview. We wish you the best of luck in the Gold Cup. You guys get underway on Friday in New York. You will take on French Guiana. Thank you so much for coming on the program and giving us all the insight.
Always a pleasure, Glenn, and you know, all the best to everyone, and anytime I'm available. Thank you.
Octavio, thank you very much. That's Octavio Zambrano, and Canada will open it up against French Guiana. And as we spoke there in the interview, we'll then take on Costa Rica. Remember, the Gold Cup is going to return to Houston for a Group A doubleheader, and that's going to include Canada taking on Costa Rica. That's going to be a great game here in Houston. That'll be at BBVA Compass Stadium. It's part of a doubleheader. French Guiana and Honduras will be a part of that one as well. Tickets as low as $30. GoldCup.org. July 11th at BBVA Compass Stadium. So there you had a great opportunity to get insight from Canada's manager, Octavio Zambrano. Tickets at goldcup.org. Canada will be in Houston. We'll take a break. More to come here. Best in Soccer Talk, self-proclaimed.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, don't forget, Manchester United, Manchester City coming to Houston. We know it's been a great sports year here, but it's going to get bigger. Two of the most successful soccer teams in the world will be here in Houston July 20th, Energy Stadium, 8:30 p.m., It's the Manchester Derby for the first time ever outside of England. Two of the big rivals in all of sports. Also, portions of the tickets, in light of the recent tragedy in Manchester, will be donated to the victims and their families. You can get tickets at internationalchampionscup.com. Internationalchampionscup.com is where you get your tickets. Also, July 11th, the Gold Cup. Right here in Houston, a doubleheader. Honduras will take on French Guiana. Then it's the Ticos of Costa Rica taking on Gold Cup champion Canada. Remember, they won it back in 2000, believe it or not, Canada. Tickets start as low as $30. Get yours today at goldcup.org. July 11th, BBVA Compass Stadium. Goldcup.org for your tickets. Gold Cup, only one champion. Great opportunity to go out in style here tonight before the 4th of July. We bring on the president of San Antonio FC. Good friend, and they're doing it right down there in San Antonio. He's Tim Holt. Tim, thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Glenn.
All right. So, you know, a lot of times I'm redundant when I bring you on the show, but there's two phases of expansion coming up for Major League Soccer. We know that's the end game for you guys. Are you guys targeting the first expansion, the second? Does it not matter? And where do you think you could fall in all of this?
Yeah, you know, wouldn't want to speculate too much. I think our focus right now is just on putting together the most compelling possible case for San Antonio and San Antonio FC and Spurs Sports and Entertainment and MLS, doing that collaboratively, you know, obviously with the city and the county and, you know, all the folks here that are trying to bring a second major league team to San Antonio. And really our, you know, our focus as a club is just continuing to build and scale up San Antonio FC on the field, off the field, fan support, corporate support, and continuing to raise the level as hopefully we get that opportunity to transition the club into an MLS future at some point in the future. And whether that's, you know, the first two teams of the round, second two teams, and, you know, what year that is, isn't as consequential as realizing that objective in, you know, in the coming years.
For Spurs ownership and the group, and we all know what a wonderful organization it is the target obviously the first one, sooner rather than later?
Again, I think it's less about, you know, being in a, you know, the first two or the second two than making sure we do it right. Obviously, there are a lot of boxes to check. Both, you know, from an applicant side, a prospective, you know, MLS market and ownership group side, as well as from an MLS due diligence standpoint. You got 12, you know, highly competitive markets with great ownership groups that are all vying to, you know, be a part of Major League Soccer, the exciting things that it has going on going forward. And, you know, for us, it's not about a, you know, sort of a sprint to the starting line as much as it's making sure that we're able to achieve that, and we are, you know, we're the most prepared that we can be in terms of all the club building and market building activities to hit the ground running. If, you know, you're fortunate enough to get into MLS, everybody else kind of has a 20-year head start on you, it seems like. So, you know, we want to make sure that we're, you know, doing all the things necessary. And if that means, you know, we're in a second group of two or coming in a little later than the others, that's totally fine. You know, give us enough of a runway to be able to do that. And don't mistake that for not being ambitious and aggressively seeking out this expansion. We're definitely doing all those things behind the scenes, but, you know, aren't fully in control of the time frames. And so we're focusing on the things that we can control.
And there is something to be said for entering the market at the right time, right?
Absolutely. You know, it can be a lot of different theories as to what that is. Keep in mind here, although professional soccer has been around in San Antonio since pretty much the beginning of the decade, we're 18 months into this project in pro soccer with the Spurs and San Antonio FC. And, you know, there's still a lot to learn and, you know, made some really exciting strides over the course of the past season and a half. But, you know, there's a long way to go. And you know, the one thing is that the Spurs are in this pro soccer business for the long term. So, you know, we're really enjoying and learning from, you know, our USL involvement at this particular stage and just continue to hope to, you know, try to do that better and better each year and keep building what we're doing. Facilities, you know, front office, team, you know, club, academy, fan support, corporate support, you name it. Broadcast that you've been a part of, and so it's a long-term play for us, absolutely. And when it is a long-term play, you know, there's no need for us to be impatient. There's an impatience by nature with the fans and those that work here that you want to bring, you know, MLS here yesterday. But you know, we're seriously enjoying the time in USL and learning this business, and, you know, hope we can take it to the next level.
I was about to say, you know, the way you describe that probably makes it great for the business environment because you don't have that stress and pressure that says, you know, it's got to happen right now. And, you know, there's this just nice gradual build. And some of the things I've noticed when I've come there is that everybody in your organization, you know, seems intellectually curious and very connected to the sport of soccer.
Appreciate you saying that. I think, you know, we all realize there's a lot to learn. There's great passion in the people that we have working in San Antonio FC for the sport and for our community to be able to do that. And yes, you know, everybody's pretty driven, and you know, there's a vision and an objective to try to get there. But you know, it's irrespective of whether it's MLS or USL, You know, we're in this for the long term and ultimately just want to build the best possible professional soccer club to serve San Antonio and engage. So, you know, we're trying to do that no matter what league we're participating in. And, you know, the difference is really one of scale when, you know, if you're fortunate enough to get to MLS. But it's really the optimal situation to be able to have this period where we're, you know, where we're in USL and we're enjoying it. We're adding pieces as we go and hopefully improving as we go. But the energy here and the support for pro soccer in general and the sport of soccer in general, not just our USL team or MLS future, hopefully, but, you know, all things, Liga MX, you know, the Dynamo, FC Dallas. There's really a great interest in the sport in San Antonio. It's a great soccer market for sure.
He's Tim Holt, president of San Antonio FC. If we look at criteria in Major League Soccer, they sure love good ownership groups. Check that category with Spurs ownership group. They also like stadium situations under control. Check that category. So those are two great categories you seemed incredibly well positioned for. What would be the next category in your mind that, you know, maybe Major League Soccer is looking at when it pertains to San Antonio?
Well, I agree with you. You know, the ownership group is best in class, and you know, that's pretty well established throughout, you know, American professional sports and globally. So, you know, I don't think you can do much better than Spurs Sports and Entertainment, and agree that from a facility standpoint, we're off and running. And if you listen to, you know, what MLS looks at as the criteria, but, you know, I guess I would just add on to, you know, our current venue, Toyota Field, which is a purpose-built soccer stadium. It's about 10 miles northeast of downtown. Is great. It's the optimal USL lower division, second division stadium. Again, seats 8,000, very intimate, great game environment. But, you know, what's the plan to build that and expand that up to, you know, a stadium that meets MLS specifications, and then just continuing to demonstrate that San Antonio is a market that'll move the needle for MLS, whether it's in terms of its national broadcast and sponsorship initiatives, or just a market that'll add value with rivalries, that are natural geographically with the Dynamo and FC Dallas. And I think it could really, you know, create a little bit even more of an additional boost. You got two teams that are flying this year in MLS, and you can see the energy, you know, about both of those clubs this year. And, you know, with the third Texas team, you know, I think you could build in even some additional rivalry games and, you know, and really hopefully further escalate that. But so I think those are the main things, and just being able to continue to demonstrate that there is support here for an MLS team in terms of the fans, not different from how they support the Spurs and at the level at which they're, you know, so avid and passionate about that team. And just that it's going to add value to Major League Soccer, both as a market and as a club, certainly from an ownership group and facility standpoint.
You got a lot of content running through town, and I wanted to ask, you got Chivas Atlas, which is a great Guadalajara rivalry, obviously, coming up in San Antonio. Then San Antonio FC is going to take on Santos Laguna. These are great games. Then you have the Gold Cup in the Alamo Dome with Mexico. Gold Cup, these types of exhibitions, what's the win for San Antonio FC? Is it, you know, obviously when you play Santos, it's the opportunity to play in front of a different and unique fan. But what's sort of the takeaway when you have all this content coming through? Because we have it come through Houston, and I can't say it's actually affected the bottom line when it comes to attendance for the Houston Dynamo. It's hard to validate.
Yeah, it's very different markets too, right? Houston's a bigger market and more established from a soccer standpoint. I think at this stage, we talked about timing earlier. The timing's great for San Antonio right now to have these big-time major national or continental soccer events coming through here. Chivas in San Antonio for the first time in a decade after they've won Liga MX, and in our 9,000 seat Toyota Field is going to be pretty wild against their Guadalajara rivals. Us playing Santos is going to be a unique thrill. It'll be the first time we've played a Liga MX team for San Antonio FC, and having a big stature event like the Gold Cup in the Alamo Dome that the county and the city and SA Sports have brought here, and, you know, that we've played a small role in. They just elevate the profile of the sport. They elevate the awareness, and I think demonstrate outside of the Alamo City just what the capacity is to support numerous events at a high level. that are big time soccer events. They don't have to be San Antonio FC or San Antonio FC Tide to be positive for us. And, you know, one of our overriding objectives is just to grow the sport. So anytime we're in a position to be able to do that or be part of doing that or even just support doing that, it's pretty exciting. And sandwiched in between all those big time events is our next league home game against OKC Energy, which is one of two games that the USL is putting on its national linear television ESPNU broadcast this year. So four games in, you know, roughly 14 days that hopefully will move the needle and put the spotlight a little bit more on San Antonio and demonstrate, you know, that it is a, you know, first-tier soccer market in the United States.
A lot of great content coming through your city, including San Antonio FC. Tim, as always, we thank you for coming on. We'll check back in with you in a couple weeks' time and keep this going. But I think there's a lot of people here in Houston that are rooting for your success just based on creating rivalry and sort of regionalization within the overall picture of Major League Soccer. So thank you, as always, for joining us. And, hey, have a good 4th of July. How about that?
You too, Glenn. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right. One and only Tim Holt, president of San Antonio FC. And I'll tell you what, there's a Dynamo game. They're not in town. Make the ride down I-10. It's an awesome atmosphere. Just called a game there with John Harkes. Great quality soccer. And, you know, it's going to be the future of MLS. I'm almost going to go to the bank with it on that, but that's me talking. Hey, don't forget, check out the Kings Court, 903 Hutchins. It's down in Edo. It's on the corner of Walker and Hutchins. Okay, look, if you want a real soccer pub, all right, you want the real deal, this is the place to go. They got 13 TVs. They got an outdoor area. They got an incredible rooftop patio that in the background is BBVA Compass Stadium. That's a great place to take some shots with you and your supporters groups. It's a real soccer pub feel. Go down there, say hello to Jay. 903 Hutchins, it's King's Court. And also, a reminder here as we wind it down here tonight. As Manchester United, Manchester City, they're coming to Houston. It's been a big year in the world of sports here. It's going to get bigger. These two rivals are coming. This is going to be a spectacle. There'll be new signings on both teams. And hey, Jose and Pep are going to be here in Houston. How can you not want to go to that? July 20th at Energy Stadium, 8:30 p.m. The Manchester Derby, two of the biggest rivals in all of world sports. Now, part of the ticket proceeds will go, in light of the recent tragedy in Manchester, to the victims and their families. InternationalChampionsCup.com, InternationalChampionsCup.com. Follow me on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook Soccer Matters, podcasts at PodcastArena.com, and iTunes for Jose Partida. And also our good man, Tyler Scott, Victor Ariza. I'm Glenn Davis. Thanks for tuning in to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 tonight.
ESPN 97.5.